back to Daydream Believers with Helen L.
Hey, hey.
L, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm doing really well.
That's surprising.
I know, not I'm like shocked. I say this every other
way. I am shocked.
I'm in such a giggly mood. You just snort.
I know. Oh, oh my God. Just before I answer that, I pray for our listeners of this episode.
Really? Why?
Because I'm also in a giddy mood, Elle. Yeah. I'm giggly. And when I get giggly, I'm like, I'm giggly. I'm very giggly.
Oh, I'm going to annoy the shit out of everyone. Anyway.
But yes, I'm good.
Yes. Elle.
Yes, I'm also good. That's I'm well good. As well.
I'm you're well as Elle. Well. Lovely. For all of those listeners that need to be updated, we got and secured Paul McCartney tickets. We are going to be only mere meters away from the man.
Meters, mere meters. We're going to the, is it got, it's not get back to where, it's got back? Or
yeah,
he's something got, confusing. Baby got back. Baby got back.
Yeah. Got back. Got back. Got back to where you once belonged. But yes.
Yes, very excited.
Very, very excited. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to be able to see a beetle like right there in the flesh. Again.
Again, again.
But even
again.
Closer this time.
Yeah, I'm and very
definitely
excited.
Closer definitely to me because I was you. At the back of a stadium last time.
How stressful was it trying to secure these tickets?
Oh, believe I, it's intense in general getting tickets for anything, right? Yeah. But when it's like an artist you desperately need
desperate.
To go to, and you want tickets that you know it's not just some willy nilly tickets. You don't want to be able to see them and they look like an ant from a distance. Mm-hmm. Like when you know you want to be as close as you can be. Like
you want to smell them,
I like no, the adrenaline. Sweat. Yeah, the adrenaline rush I got like that when the waiting list was counting down.
Mm. Yeah, I was actually starting to shake
when I was putting I was putting your card details in. When I was putting your card details in, I was like my hand was shaking. Like, oh, I can't even imagine the people that were trying to secure Taylor Swift tickets just a few, like, weeks ago.
Oh, man, stuff that.
People were waiting in line for hours.
Hours?
For hours. And when I say line, I mean a virtual line because obviously people don't wait up in ticket lines anymore, I don't think. But, like, to be waiting in online for that long, just I'm imagining so many people in Australia that week just on their laptop or, like, at their work computer and, like, not doing any work. Like, but just
I know.
Focusing on security.
I know. I remember seeing a TikTok where they had the laptop, another laptop, and like six different phones. And they were all in the queue, all swiping. Nothing was happening.
And something with those queues, like, it's very interesting because it doesn't matter what time you enter the queue. It is just very randomized.
It's randomized. So random.
So some people waited 20 minutes and some people waited hours and never got anything. It's crazy.
But it's also the system that they use to buy the tickets is faulty. It's fucked.
It is fucked.
Right? No matter where you are, they could give you, like, at the back. They could give you section C. Even if you're one of the first people to try and get tickets, if you put two tickets, please, and you select just floor seating, they'll just willy-nilly give you level one.
Yeah, that's how it happened to us, yeah. So shitty. You know, like, I feel like this has become worse. And not that I'm blaming the pandemic for everything, but it's been worse since the pandemic. I feel like when I used to secure ticket spots prior to it, it was much more easy breezy cover girl, you know?
Yeah.
Where, like, now it feels very, like, I feel like the ticketing platform is just, it makes no sense to me.
It's just wrong. I blame society.
Yeah. It is the system.
I blame it's society. The man. And I blame the man.
The man. It's always the man. Gotta stick it to the man.
I blame MTV.
No, I love MTV.
MTV's the man, Al.
No. The man is Murdoch, whatever his name is. I was gonna say Richard Murdoch, but I don't think that's his name.
Richard Murdoch.
Is it, what is his name?
I think it is Richard.
Oh.
Is it Richard?
I don't know. Is he the one that
No, it's like
Rupert?
Rupert! It's Rupert!
We're doing that thing now and we don't know what anyone's name is. Rupert. That's right, yeah.
It's written our name.
Richard Rupert.
Richard Rupert.
Yeah.
Rupert.
Yeah.
Rupert. Yes, it's Rupert. I just have to confirm with myself.
Yeah, he's the one. He's the technical man, I feel like. That's controlling
the man.
Media.
I'm just quoting Sir Jack Black.
Oh, like MTV is the man?
Yes. The man for rock and roll, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I feel
rock and roll. Okay, fucking hell, calm down. I feel like I need a couple of Panadol and to go straight to sleep.
For anyone listening, it is like 12:45 right now.
It's actually 11:04. I don't know where Elle got 12:45 from.
Because I wanted to say midnight because I'm like, yeah, it's pretty much midnight.
It is not.
And then I was like, ooh, it's nearly quarter past 11. And I was like, quarter to midnight.
Same shit.
Yeah. I think it's the same, but you've made it seem very
dumb. Yes, it's not, though. You need to be specific.
Shall we jump into formalities?
Yes, we shall.
Thank you.
All right. What we like to do is talk about what was number one in music history this week. Now, when I say this week, I mean the week that the episode comes out. Mm-hmm. Yowza!
Oh.
In 1974, Feel Like Making Love by Roberta Flack was number one.
Roberta. They're all Roberto. So many R names.
Roberta. Yeah. Do you remember in Waterboy when his dad is writing the letters to, what's her name? Mama?
I was like that name. Devil. Like
yeah, lady. Mama. And at the start.
To Mama.
Yeah. And then at the start, it was like, Robert. And then the last letter was like, Roberto.
Do you remember?
Well, anyway, this is Roberta. Okay. Roberta Flack.
Flack.
I don't give a flack.
Oh, how's this song go?
I feel like making love. That's all I know.
Okay.
I know the song. I'm pretty sure it's in Starsky and Hutch. And it's that band that is the band and like how many of those movies.
So the Hangover band, but also he's also in
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, and there's something else.
Maybe Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
Maybe something like that.
Maybe.
But it's that band. They're singing this song. And I remember Vince Vaughn dancing to it. And he's like kind of pointing to him. And he's like, I feel like making love.
I can always imagine Vince Vaughn dancing.
Because he dances. Yeah. He's got the funniest laugh. It's very like that.
Oh, he really I actually love him. He's just one of those people that acts as himself.
I really like the way he talks.
Yeah.
Like it's very fast.
Yeah. It really catches my attention.
Yeah, me too. Me too. In 1987, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For by U2 was number one.
One of my favorite songs.
Really?
Yes, I love U2. I know I you do you. Not like U2.
I love you.
Aw.
I really love you too.
You love me too?
Yes.
That's nice. I still haven't found what I'm looking for though.
So you don't love me?
I said I love you too.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're talking about me or if you're talking about the band. And if I know you, you're talking about the band.
This actually reminds me of a Facebook status I made in, let's say, 2009.
Right, yes.
Where I wrote I love you too, like with the letter U and the number 2 because I was talking about the band.
Mm.
And all these boys from my level that I did not speak to all replied back, being like, love you too. But I got so anxious and nervous that I deleted it. Because I was like, why? Like, oh God, the panic. I never realized that it was a pun. Because obviously I take things literally because I have no sense of humor. The Edge and Bono, who famously write majority of the U2 songs together, the two mainies.
Yeah.
So Edge came up with the title and the melody, and Bono wrote the lyrics.
Yeah.
And it has a very gospel-y feel to it because, like, as we know, Bono is very into the gospel, into the religion. This song actually won a Grammy for Best Rock Performance by a Duo or Group in 1988.
Wow.
Yes. And their bass player, Adam Clayton, missed the performance because he had to go to the bathroom.
Liar, diarrhea, didn't he?
Maybe he just was like, they could have found like, oh, I just gotta go on.
No. He had diarrhea. He had the runs. He had to run to the toilet, you know what I'm saying? He had the runs.
Because you had to be missing for a decent amount of time. And no matter which toilet you go to in like an arena or a stadium, you can hear the music subtly. So he'd be like, oh my God, that's my cue.
I'm missing it. Oh, my stomach.
Oh,
that was like me when I went to go see Jerry Seinfeld in New York City.
Yeah.
And I had to listen to the Jerry's stand up from the toilet.
Wait, how did you miss majority of it?
Stuff because I had diarrhea. Jerry Seinfeld. And of all people, why did I eat that spinach and ricotta ravioli? It was so
to you?
It did it, and it did it hard, Elle.
Was it a cream-based sauce, unfortunately? That shouldn't be a cream-based sauce. Usually you have, like, a red sauce with that.
No, it wasn't actually in a sauce. It was kind of like buttery.
That's what did it to you. Ugh.
It's the ricotta.
Ricotta never does that to me, and I'm a lactose
that's
gal.
You. That's you, Elle. Ugh. That's you.
Yeah, but I feel like that should not.
Don't you remember what I told you last time? Some things randomly affect me, and then they don't, and then they do, and then they don't. It's an endless cycle of Russian roulette of... Oh, is this going to make Elle shit today? Yes or no?
Oh, spin the wheel. What will it be today?
Yes.
A ravioli.
Yes, that's exactly right. I miss half of Jerry Seinfeld's stand-up to shit in the toilet. Don't you understand? I was in New York City.
Yeah, it's a bit hard. I watched him here, obviously not in New York.
Yeah.
Fantastic set. Did enjoy it very much.
Yeah, you're going to have to let me know what he said.
I'm sure you got the muffles from the bathroom.
Yeah.
What's the deal? And then you're like, with that shit? That's cute, though, and funny.
Is it?
It's a funny story.
All right. I feel like I was going somewhere with this, but then I forgot.
Okay.
In 2011, Party Rock Anthem by LMFAO was number one. Party rock is in the house tonight. This song was massive, massive, massive.
It was so big, especially in Australia and especially at AMF Bowling because that is where I worked. And let me tell you, this song did not stop playing.
Were you sick of it by the end?
No, I actually really enjoyed Red Fu. I like the hair bopping.
It was
very nice because you got to watch the music videos.
What about the shuffling? The constant amount of shuffling that had in the...
Yeah,
in
but the they really tried to embrace the Melbourne shuffle, but they did not do it justice, in my opinion.
The Melbourne shuffle?
Yeah, it's the Melbourne shuffle.
What are you talking about?
Like shuffling.
In Melbourne?
Yeah, that's like, it's called the Melbourne Shuffle.
I've never heard of that in my life, and you know how with it I am.
Liar.
You know I am with it.
Isn't it crazy that that's his uncle?
What?
Yeah, did
Who's
you know?
His uncle?
Red Fu's uncle is the guy that's with Red Fu.
Get out!
What is Red Fu's uncle's name?
Why he was like a young guy and like a 50-year-old?
I never realized that the uncle was older until I really...
Yeah, he always seemed older to me.
Yeah, I just thought he was just more like Mojo Lojo. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's his uncle.
Oh,
yeah, and Red Fu. That really came out of nowhere, that like LMFAO thing, and it took off nice and it was good. I wonder what they're doing now.
Probably living off the money that they made just probably from this song. Oh. If they made money.
And
they're
sexy and I know it.
Sexy and I know it. And champagne showers. Champagne showers. That had a lot of like hits.
Yeah.
But none as big as this.
Mm.
The music video is based on the zombie movie 28 Days Later.
Oh.
Basically, what would happen is the concept of the video was that there was an epidemic, the world has gone crazy, and as soon as the song came out, everyone got possessed, and then all they wanted to do was shuffle. So instead of zombies, they became shufflers.
I reckon it's a better way
genius,
of
right?
life, yeah.
Genius.
I liked it.
Genius.
I remember it very well.
Genius.
I remember he, like... In the club. Oh, no, I'm thinking I'm sexy and I know it again. But, like, in the club, party rock. Looking for a girl because she owned the jack.
Well, you know what the crazy thing about this song was?
Yes.
It wasn't that everyone got possessed by shuffling. It was that it was within the Hot 100. So not number one specifically, but in the Hot 100, whether it was from 1 to 100.
Yeah.
For 68 weeks.
68? That's over a year. 68
weeks, hell!
What the hell? That's crazy. That's over the year.
Yes. It is the longest that a song that is hit number one has stayed within the Hot 100, but it is not the longest to have stayed in the Hot 100.
Yeah, because something else might have fluctuated but just never hit number one.
Never hit number one. The songs that got more...
Yeah.
Then that song was Jason Mraz's I'm Yours. Can you believe that was number one?
Yes, of course. That was big as. Maybe it's
it was never number one.
Wait,
did you
it was never. I thought
it peaked at number six.
That was number six?
Yes, maybe in America.
Maybe in America, yeah. But in the US, but in Australia, that was huge.
It was a massive. It was at Big W every time I walked into a Big W. And for some reason, at that point in time, I was walking into Big W a lot. Yeah, so apparently I'm Yours peaked at number six. but it was in the Hot 100 for 76 weeks.
Woof.
Yeah. And I need to look up what this song is, but I don't know it just from the name, but Leanne Rimes's How Do I Live? Do you know what that song is?
I know Leanne Rimes, but How Do I Live?
That was in the Hot 100 for 69 weeks, and it peaked at number 2.
Oh.
It's very interesting, hey?
Interesting.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Now we also like to talk about musicians' birthdays. Yow, yow, yow. This week, Elle, the date that I would like to talk about is the 1st of February.
1st of Feb? Okay. Mm-hmm.
If you were born on the 1st of February, you share a birthday with Harry Styles.
Ooh, watermelon sugar. Hi.
Yeah. He is only a year older than us.
Really?
He's born 1994.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That means me and him would have been the same year level.
Yep, you would have been the same year level as Harry Styles. How does that feel?
Or maybe he would have been the year level above me because maybe he might have gone above.
Yeah. He was before May.
Yes.
So he would have gone in the year above.
Interesting. A whole...
Mm. Unless his parents kept him back for whatever reason. Mm.
Very interesting. Mm. You know how there's some celebrities out there that, like, you... Because you've always grown up being a kid.
Mm.
What did I just say?
I'm like, yes.
But you've always grown up being a child even when they were successful.
Yeah.
That you just assume they couldn't possibly be your age. No. So, like...
It just seems so unattainable.
Yeah. But then you realize, like, oh, there is a slight chance he would fall in love with me. And now I'm understanding...
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's always the first thought that I have.
Yeah. And that is literally always the first thought. And then I'm like, that makes sense now why everyone's so obsessed with him. Because he really is, like, as in my age group or my cousins that are, like, within the last, like, 2 years difference with me, why they are majorly obsessed with him. Because it makes sense. Because obviously if they already liked him and then they found out he's the same age as them, then it's like, woof.
Yeah, the chance of him falling in love with them, like, increases dramatically. Like, if they had just met for whatever reason, they crossed path, he accidentally bumped into her and she dropped all of her papers and he helped her pick it up, they would look into each other's eyes and he'd realize, whoa, I love her.
Wow, did you see her eyes?
Yes.
That girl in the crowd.
He took off her glasses and she's like, you were hot all along.
Mm, all you needed to do was... Take off your glasses. And she's like, I can't see you.
I can't see you.
Who are you?
Wait.
Touch my face. You'll know.
You'll know. Harry Styles! Wow! Harry?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I was thinking of the
Muppets. The puppets. What's the difference between Muppets and puppets, huh? I just turned to Jerry Seinfeld. What is the difference between Muppets and puppets? They're the same thing.
They really are, though. What is the difference?
The Muppets is like a certain brand, a certain company.
You're really struggling Kermit. To say Muppets, aren't you?
Think Kermit. Think Piggy.
I know.
Piggy. Is it Piggy?
Miss Piggy.
Think of that. Think of him. Think of the two old men that make fun of everyone. Think of the chef. It's like... And then makes a spaghetti?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then a puppet is Elmo, what we're saying then?
A puppet is something that you...
Yeah, Elmo's...
Elmo's a puppet.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Elmo is a puppet.
Is that what you want me to say?
Is that what you want from me, El? Is that what you want? Yes! Elmo is a puppet! Are you happy now?
We freaking lost it. Okay.
I told you. I pray for the listeners. This is why.
We are about to go on a quick break, but before we do, we have a lovely guest that we would like to introduce to you guys that we'll be talking to today.
Yes, his name is Christian Gates, and he is from America.
America, and he has them dollar bill signs in his name.
Yes, it is Christian, but where the S is a dollar sign.
I think they got it. He has luscious blonde locks, and he is very, very suave, very cool, very toit, like a toiger.
Yes, think Draco Malfoy.
Yes.
He has a great song that just came out on the 4th of August. It is called Take Me Back. I'm going to put a small clip of it right here. Take me back before my mind starts to wander and this dim light goes black. Just take me back
give up everything I have. Just take me.
It was really lovely talking to Christian. We spoke a lot about how he feels about himself, the struggles that he's had in his dating life. He really opens up and he's pretty vulnerable to us, so we really appreciate that, Christian. Thank you very much. He also goes into his work ethic when it comes to making these songs. This kid has a good work ethic.
Oh, for sure.
He is committed.
Committed.
Yes. You'll hear all about it in the episode, but before we get to the episode, if you could please follow us on whatever you use to listen to podcasts, we would really appreciate it. Support the Patreon. Yes, we know we haven't posted anything.
But we will. We'll get around to it.
But just
motivate us by joining.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
If you like what you're listening to, please don't forget to rate us a 5 out of 5. Oh, yeah. It would mean the world.
The world.
Yes. And yeah,
that's it. All right, we're going to take that quick break right now. Love to know how you got into music in the first place.
I started doing poetry when I was upset, and eventually I realized I could put that poetry on instrumentals, and started like listening to Eminem and all that stuff, and just writing, trying to get the best type of like delivery for a thought process that I had, using like whatever flow or like the amount of syllables I could use, and just like get that like ear candy, right? And then I realized I was missing like a giant piece of communication, which is melody. And I started like singing, and it sounded like awful. So I like tuned vocals and like learned how to engineer and do all that. And I just went like a whole year making music where everyone thought I sounded great. And I thought it was just all of like the tuning and everything I was using. And then eventually I started, you know, singing in front of people, and people's reactions showed me that, you know, maybe that was like a possibility. And then
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so interesting.
That's actually really cool. So you kind of relied on the auto-tune, but you didn't really need it that whole time.
I think a mix of both. Like at first I definitely needed it. Like when I first started making the songs, there was a point for like 2 years where I was making a song a day on the internet and I post it, but like I'd have to go in and I'd tune every note, so I'd see what note I sang, and then I'd move that note down to the one I was supposed to sing, and eventually just train my ear really well so that I could do it well. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. That's impressive. Cool.
So you posted a song a day for 2 years. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a
solid effort. That's some dedication. That's
like
to
your own music, or you do covers?
Mostly my own, like 80% my own, and then sometimes I do covers.
That's awesome. Oh,
that is so impressive.
How do you get your inspiration for like in those moments, like every day? Was it just like, I'm looking at a cup, let me write a song about a cup? Like, tell me what that thought process was sort of like.
I started, the first stuff was like comedy music, like things that I just thought were funny. Then I'd write little stories from like the character's perspective. One of these songs was about, like, so I had an experience where I went to a party and I fell in love with this girl. Like, it was like an instant, like, I was like, wow. Like, when she was talking to me, I don't know what it was. And at some point, I found out her girlfriend was at the party. I just watched her, like, make out with her girlfriend, sad. And I was like, damn, that sucks.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I went home, and the song I wrote was like, what I would have done in that situation. And then at the end I was like, just kidding, this is how it played out.
Yeah.
And
I
get that, like, a
so like I just
poem.
Be inspired by real events mostly.
Yeah, that's cool.
From day to day though, that's a lot of real events to be inspired by. Like, that's very impressive.
Yeah, a lot of dedication.
A lot.
Yeah, is it time consuming to be doing that every day?
Yeah, that definitely was. Like, I'd wake up at like noon, and then I'd write the song for like 3 or 4 hours, and I'd finally get it down, and then I would record it, which would take like 10 minutes, and then I'd engineer it, which would take like maybe 30 minutes, and then I would have to learn the lyrics of the song. Sorry, I have a hair. I would have to learn the lyrics of the song, like so that I can perform it live on camera without looking at, which that would take me like an hour and a half.
Wow.
Oh, so true.
Like get the, a lot of them were like fast paced raps. So I had to like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you have to learn your own lyrics.
Yeah. Because if you've just written them down, you're not going to remember at the time.
You
think
you would. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like I get like the general gist of it, but like the specific lyrics, since I'm using so many like I'm trying to rhyme each syllable sometimes with the other syllables, so I'll get them confused, and it's like it takes me also like then I record like for an hour of me just singing it over and over again, and then I finally just pick the best cut out of that hour, and then I'd post it, and then I'd caption it, and then I'd post it.
Right. So that should that would take
a long time.
It took all day, and then I like barely had any free time to do anything.
Yeah. Holy moly.
It's like, where are you finding these inspiration moments when that's what you're doing?
I know,
when
that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, so I'd be done like 10 p.m.
Oh, God.
So oh, my God.
Yeah, you just go out straight after. Nice. Wow. That makes so much sense. Do you feel like it was, like, obviously you can say now that that was all worth it, because I feel like that's the one thing that's pretty well spoken about online, is like to succeed you, it's about that consistency and really like making a name for yourself in what you do uniquely. Do you feel like that really led to like your success now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like there's literal like direct numbers to like what it did. Yeah. So like over those 2 years, I gained like following and all that, because I started at zero. So I think it's definitely worth it. I would do it all over again for sure.
Like, because, like, obviously we have social media as well, and, like, building a brand on social media is very different than just having, like, your own account, I suppose. But, like, how did you find the motivation every day to just, like, I guess you just love it that much, but, like, that motivation and that drive to, like, wake up and to do that each day? Like, were there ever days where you felt a bit flat? Like, how did you speak to yourself in your mind to, like, still go get up and put out that content?
I had, like, a standard for quality that I had to put out, and I also had that deadline of quantity every day, so I would just like I'd be like, I have to do this, I can't not do it. And like I was gaining followers, like there's like that endorphin rush that you would get from seeing you know, so I was like, okay, I just have to keep doing, making it better and better and better. And then it just like I would, so when I'd write in the car for a few hours, I would actually be writing like 10 different songs, and then I'd choose the best one, and then that's the one that I'd finish writing out. Okay, it would, I don't know how, I'm trying to explain this for people who like, because I know people are going to be listening who don't like make music all the time.
Yeah.
But there's this like, you get this like rise of energy and then a crash and then a final rise again. So like when you first start writing something, the rise of energy, like this is cool, and then you're like, oh damn, this might be lame, I make it better. Oh, damn, it sucks. This is horrible. I want to die. This is the worst thing ever. I'm not an artist.
Yeah, you know? And that then, imposter like, syndrome.
If you keep pushing through, then eventually you'll hit like, wow, this is actually really, really good.
That's so interesting.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And then you got to finish it.
So do you feel that kind of roller coaster every time you write a song? Or have there been times where you're like, nope.
This is just gold.
This is gold from the start.
Most of the time it's like that roller coaster happens, but like more recently, like the more that you do it, the more it becomes easier. So like I was writing my most recent song, it's not out yet, it's coming like in like a month.
Oh nice.
Okay.
Take Me Back. It's like a folky, almost country kind of song, but
ooh,
like,
I'm excited. Yeah,
it's cool. I'm excited.
Yeah.
But I got in with my producer friends, and we just like, we started going through chords. They were playing chords. And I was like, can you tweak that a little bit? And then the first tweak he had, it was perfect. I was like, these chords are like the best chords I've ever heard in my life. And then it took us like 2 hours. And every line, like I'd pitch a line and it was like really good. And then one of them would pitch a line and it was really good. And we just wrote the whole thing in like 2 hours.
Hell wow. Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
So like sometimes it happens like that too, where it's just really fast. But sometimes you're in there for like 8-12 hours just getting the lyrics done.
Especially if you've dropped to that low point, it's like it takes longer because you're trying to pick yourself up at the same time to like motivate yourself to keep going.
Yeah,
makes sense.
But I just drink energy
drinks, a lot of coffee, energy drinks. Yeah, I bet. But when you're at that low point, is it do you kind of just say to yourself, hey, it's just part of the process, like, it's just got to get through that low point? Or is it really like, no, I cannot continue?
Yeah.
Now, because I realized, like, every single time that I pushed through, I would say, like, maybe not every, 80% of the times that I've pushed through, I've made something really cool. I'm just like, I have like the fear of missing out. If I walk away from a session after like 8 hours instead of 12, I'm like, damn, I could have made something that like changed my life or changed somebody else's life.
That's such an interesting way to look at it.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I actually have a question for you. So do you ever find, because I find that this happens in like maybe in the podcast work that we do or just posting on social media, do you ever find that you have a song that unexpectedly goes really well? Like you're thinking, oh, this isn't my best stuff, but it just like explodes versus the stuff that you're like, no, this is going to be a hit, and it kind of just fizzles.
Yeah.
I've had a mix of like of everything, I guess.
Yeah.
Like on TikTok, I used to, like, was that's where I posted all my stuff. So since I'd post every day, I didn't realize this, but there was a way higher chance of me getting like viral sounds. So like I'd make my first thing that went really viral was like I just mashed up like the What's New Scooby Doo song. I don't know if you know it.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I love Scooby.
And then I mashed that up with Juice WRLD, and I just thought like that's such a random thing.
That is so.
And then 100,000 videos are made. I think 300,000 videos are made to that.
Oh,
that's
like, that's really like, that's, cool.
Yeah.
It was super like I was like that's crazy. So and I didn't really think much of it. And then I did a remix to Overwhelmed, like that one song by Royal and Serpent.
Overwhelmed,
yeah.
And that one had like 100,000 sounds. I was like, okay, I need to put this out. Mm-hmm. Atlantic hit me up. We put it out. And I was like, cool. And then like it just did it on its own. I didn't market it. I posted one video and it just took off.
Wow. That's so awesome.
Yeah, that's so sick. That song is so catchy as well. It gets stuck in my head.
Yeah.
It's also happened like where I've just pushed it, like a campaign myself, where I just post every day over and over. But my favorite, honestly, is just when it randomly takes off and just on Valentine's. Yeah, I was like, I was thinking about this girl that I don't talk to anymore. And I was like, damn, she left me for some dude. The line of our relationship's kind of blurred. Like there's a little bit of scandals in there.
Overlap.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, she's out hooking up with this new guy. I'm in bed alone. But at least we're both feeling numb. I know she's not happy, you know? Right. And, like, I'm not happy either. And I, like, I just wrote that, like a little chorus for that on Valentine's Day. And then 6 months later, the sound just blew up. And then I put the song out, and then it did really well.
Yeah, 109 million downloads.
Yes, it's done very well.
Like, very well. It's insanely done well. Like, that, we were actually going to ask you as well, like, so that's sort of how you came across, like, that song, like, that's how it led to that, just from that one scenario in your life. That is amazing. That, like, isn't it crazy, like, the inspiration you can find in small details of life that everyone experiences, but you've been able to, like, make it into something that can touch other people and other people can relate to as well. Like, it's wild.
I feel like the best way to do that is just being, like, I've noticed at the time, more people are being, like, more honest in music, but I saw that there was like a lane of music that people weren't really hitting, and it's like just saying your feelings honestly, even if they're like they make you look bad, like even if you're the bad guy in the story, if you're the loser in the story, just fucking say it and people will relate. And
people
are like are more open, but at the time nobody was really I feel like is open.
No, that definitely makes sense.
I think as, you know, social media as a whole is becoming a lot more open to how people truly feel.
Yeah. I think the world's realized that being relatable is what sells as well now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, I think even hopefully, like music agencies and stuff like that are starting to actually push the people that are relatable rather than the people that are, like iconic and like
poppy.
Divalicious, yes.
And divalicious.
Yes, I used up my word, yeah.
The problem is though, when you get into these like I'll be in like bigger sessions that are like trying to make big pop songs and like with all the pop writers, you know, and they're like, what's like, let's make the next big whatever. That doesn't seem to end well, because like I'm hearing all the songs that are coming out of those sessions too, and it's just people trying to be relatable when they can't relate to anything.
Right. Like, they're not being truthful. They're just trying to come across like they're truthful.
Yeah, or they're making a song out of something that's so fabricated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like there's other lanes to go now. I'm not going to say what they are. You'll see it on the new EP.
Oh,
the folky EP. Can't wait. So the song I Won't Beg For You, what was your inspiration behind that?
Damn, I really don't want... I can't say it. No, because... I'll tell the songwriter why, like, how I wrote the song, because I think they'll really enjoy the story, but I think this is one of those songs that's better left to, like, interpretation and imagination. Right.
That's interesting you said that, because when we were listening to it before, it seems like it's about, like a love kind of situation, but I actually related to it as, like, a parental situation.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, when a parent doesn't, like... is, like, not willing to take any acceptance of how they could have impacted their child, and, like, they're willing to, like, not see everything that's burning down around them and the chaos that they've caused. So, like, that's how I interpreted it. Yeah. And I know that you've said that in the past, that you kind of leave everything open so that it's, like, a canvas for whoever listens to it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's my interpretation of it. So,
I really like that interpretation. I didn't even think about that. Oh, that's, like...
We'll use that one really if you want.
Yeah. You should just tell people that's like, what it's about.
Yeah. Use that one.
That's like a thing. I'll talk, like a lot of my friends are artists, and we'll talk about these things. Like, do you think, is the song yours or the fans after it releases? And I don't think it's mine after it releases. It's like, I used to not give Genius my lyrics because like I wanted people to just not, like whatever they heard, I want them to feel.
Yeah.
But the actual like reason for the song, it is a relationship between me and whatever this situation is. And it's a similar like that the dynamic in the song is true. I just don't want to say what that interaction, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's a true dynamic for sure.
I like that. I like that you can leave it to interpretation for the fans. I
like
it
because it's specific enough for people to be like, yes, 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 but it's vague enough to literally be about a relationship with family or a partner or even drugs or alcohol. Like, it's vague enough to be about anything.
Yeah, or just your own personal connection with yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I find that there's a lot of songs that are written about other people that, like, I then listen to and I'm like, wow, if I close my eyes and just sing this to myself, it's like a love letter to myself, almost like a sorry to myself for, like, tearing my whole life apart.
Yeah.
Like, The Reason by Hoobastank, I don't know why I sing that song to myself. Like, I found a reason for me. Like, So I feel like it's beautiful to leave that into the interpretation of your listeners because, I think it lets it have even more meaning for them. Because when you know a song is about a specific thing, sometimes it sort of takes away, like you said, from what you think you can relate to it as sometimes.
So I just like books. Like, when people, like, really like reading books and then they watch the movie, like, this is not as cool as I was picturing.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah.
Books are for you, right? Books are for the reader. Movies are for the director. Like, the director wants to show their vision. But for a book, the reader gets to have their own vision. And I think songs are like that. And it's really cool.
Yeah. Sure.
I really like that. That was a really good analogy. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So is that like...
What's really funny...
Yeah? Continue, yeah.
Tell us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This, like, when I went in to write this song with my producer friends, it was three of us. We were all just sitting in a room. And they're like, hey, what do you want to write about? And I'm like, dude, I don't even know. I'm dealing with the most unrelatable thing anyone could ever deal with. And they're like, why don't you just write it as if it's about a girl? And I'm like, okay. And then, so then I wrote the song like that. And now people are telling me, wow, this is like the most relatable thing. And I'm like, that's so funny.
Because
I wrote it in a time of just feeling completely alone.
Yeah. It's so true, like how crazy a moment of real loneliness for you can lead to you actually finding other people, maybe that don't feel the same in the exact same situation, but find people that feel
the same feelings in their own situation, and it makes you that feel that tiny bit less lonely, which is kind of beautiful that your life can work in that kind of full circle way. In terms of Dangerous State of Mind, like, how did you, like, is that a song that you wrote with someone? Was it a collaboration, something on your own? Like, talk us through that song.
So I originally wrote it. This started with Clark and I.
Clark.
The one that you saw earlier.
Clark.
And we were in my bedroom. I was still living with my parents at the time.
Yeah.
We were in my bedroom, and there was this, like, we found like a loop on Splice, like a guitar loop, and I wrote this chorus, and it ended with me saying "My Dangerous State of Mind," and like the melody was really cool. But then he's like, "I don't like that loop. I'm gonna make you something cooler." And then he made the coolest instrumental I've ever heard in my life. And then he was like, "I think you need to write better lyrics, because this is it. What's like making the song cool? The beat or the lyrics?" And I'm like, "I think the beat, of course." So then I just like, I went to all my friends, my writer friends, and I like, I rewrote it, and I went to one of my writer friends, I'm like, "What do you think about this?" And then they're like, "You could do better here." And I'm like, "Okay, what do you think about this?" And I just like didn't want to get lazy, and I wanted to make it the best it could be.
Right.
But it is about a true thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Or no telling?
For sure.
Okay. Sweet. Just tell us. We like please knowing
tell.
The people.
Do tell.
Yes, tell us.
I just noticed I was talking for like a minute, so I was like,
"Oh no." Give that
this song, by the way, the writing process, I already had like the idea for the song. It's just I was going to my friends so that I can convey it better. You know, it wasn't like changing what it was about. But there's this girl that I used to talk to on and off in high school. She didn't know I was in high school, so I'm not going to say her name. But she found out I was in high school, and we stopped talking. And she was in college.
Right.
And she lived 2 hours away from me in a beach town, which is like really cool. And we were just constantly on and off for like a few years, and there's no like real specifics, but like I knew she was like with other people at the time, and like because we weren't official, and it was just breaking me apart. So I just like, when I wrote the song, I was thinking like I would hit her up, but she has a boyfriend. She has a dude that's like beating it up, I guess. And I'm like, I could do it better. I'd be doing it. I could be doing it way better, but I can't like step in, you know, into that situation. So I'll just like, again, lay here just fucking sad in bed.
Yeah. Dangerous state of mind. Aww.
I find it interesting that a lot of the inspiration behind your songs is like you feeling like some sort of maybe betrayal by someone. Do you think that's something you felt a lot in your life?
I think so. I think that seems to be the theme that arises in a lot of the songs. I didn't realize that until you said that right now, so that's cool too.
it is really interesting, but I hope, you know, you don't lose hope in finding someone, because it takes like a lot of mistrials to find the right person. So don't, it's easy for a stranger across the world to be saying that to you, but don't let go of that hope if that's what you want out of life.
Yeah.
I did lose the hope for a little bit, but now it's back. And I just feel like whenever it is meant to happen, it will happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And also, exactly.
I need to be better. You know, every time I'm in one of these relationships, I feel like I meet a girl who makes me want to be a better version of myself, because her standards are higher than what I am.
Yeah.
Like I'm with a girl before when I was in high school, I was with a girl that her standards were college education, and like I'm like, damn, now I gotta like,
yeah,
you know,
you gotta get
my
a
dreams and aspirations are gonna try grow like into this direction for this person.
Yeah,
or like, you know, she's not always right, but it's like a lot of the time she is. Like I met a lot of girls that made me morally a way better person than I used to be.
Right.
Yeah. So I think like that's one of those things. If I'd say something that was like really uncouth, and then she would be like, "That's not cool." And I'm like, "Man, you're right. I probably that was a little...
Yeah, like keeping you in check. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really...
Yeah, but like yeah. only like... That's a way to put it, but I don't like phrasing it that way.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
No, I totally
No, that makes
you.
A lot of sense. I think it's pretty like big of you as well. Like you're still at a very young age in life, but for you to be able to make that mentality shift of like, hey, I know for me to get into these relationships that are like mutual and equal, for me to also do my work as well as them do their work, or the people that I'm finding to like, it's, you can feel, I think I've been in that same position where sometimes I would look for a partner where, or like a love interest that would make me feel like I was the best version of myself when I was with them. And then it wasn't till like moments of like true loneliness where I was like, how come I can't be that person when I'm just by myself yes. sometimes? And like, how, what yeah. can I do when I'm on my own to still feel like my version of my best version of myself mm-hmm. instead of their version of it? Yeah, so exactly. It's a real big like journey. And like the fact that you're like, you're still under 20 years old. Yeah. Like how old?
I'm 20.
Yeah, you just turned 20. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So like, yeah. like I didn't even make those realizations until like after 20. So you're like already like on the path of like
you're on the path
making alignment with who you are and like yeah. gonna find the person if you want to find a person like that in your life.
Yeah,
it will come sooner than you think.
I think the issue like usually all the other guys in mm-hmm. in these scenarios would always be older. Mm. And like wiser and more mature guys that have their life together. So every time like something would happen in a relationship and like that is who they would leave for, I'd be like, okay, now I have to be like to level up past whoever that dude was.
Yeah.
You know? So that like, but I don't think that's a healthy way to get.
I was going to say, I think it's important maybe for you to shift that perspective into, I want to be that for me, like yeah. instead of yeah. being like who you want to be for another person. I think you need to be comfortable and happy with who you are, and try, if you want to better yourself, better it for you instead of a girl.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. That's why yeah. I feel more comfortable with meeting somebody, because yeah. I feel like now I finally don't need another person.
Yeah,
to feel fulfilled. And
yeah, I love.
I'm bettering myself without having another person to do it for.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
I feel more stable, and
that's great. And,
yeah,
that's an awesome part of like life to be in as well. Like,
yeah.
And once you've gotten into that phase for yourself, like that mindset shift, it's really hard to break out of that. In terms of like, even in those moments where you might feel like really low again, you know that you can get back to this phase in your life because you've already made it there. You know, like. Because yeah. I've definitely gone through that, like the turbulent times of like being really invested in who I am for myself and like working myself. And then something will happen, like as things happen in life, and I'll be like, no, I suck. Like, why the fuck yes. does this shit fucking happen to me? And yes. then I'm like, wait a second. A couple months ago, I still felt good about myself. And it's like reminding myself how to get back to that like place of just doing things for you and like measuring your version of success to what you feel is true, rather than like what, like just because someone goes to college or just because someone's like living this successful like corporate job does not mean that my version of success is any less or any better than that, you know. And it's just finding your individuality in life. That's really cool to be 20 years old and to have already been making those mindset shifts, because especially as like a young male as well, that's like quite successful in the way you are, it'd be very easy for you to just kind of keep a blind eye to it and like continue doing what you feel is like the right way of doing things, instead of looking in and seeing like how you as well can shift and change and grow in yourself.
I think that stems from, I have a huge fear of hypocrisy.
Right.
So like I want to look back at my life and at interviews and like, mm-hmm. you know, songs and just be like, if I was a piece of shit for a little bit, I want to quickly learn and like reflect and like learn how to not be a piece of shit, so that I can not be a known piece of shit for like however many years I'm known right. to the public.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that bad reputation.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, it's good that you can spot that out in yourself and learn from it. I feel like something like that is it's a skill to be able to reflect on yourself like that. And it it's a skill that usually comes with age. Like, not always. Sometimes you find, you know, like an 18-year-old who's just really got their head on their shoulders and they really know what it's about. But I feel like it's a skill that comes from age because you tend to make the mistakes and you learn from them.
Yeah. I feel like it's all down to self-reflection. Yeah. And like, once you master self-reflection, it's really, it's like a beautiful journey ahead, in my opinion.
I think a cool way to do it is like, I think I'm an overthinker. Mm-hmm. Me too. So, like, I'm just going through, I try to go through like thousands of scenarios that could happen from any of my actions and like kind of lay them out into like these tree branches of like seeing what kind of person I would become following all these like things and then like seeing whatever the best path would be. Right. And that's kind of like a little, you know.
So is that how your brain works? You tend to visualize like different, like, do you actually visualize the branches, like, kind of of where different things could lead you?
Yeah, like, I see, like, if I, like, I go to the gym every day right now. I'm trying to bulk up.
Get lean.
And I'm seeing, like, if I'm super tired one morning and I'm like, okay, if I don't go today, what would happen? And then I'm like, I probably would be less inclined to go tomorrow. You know, and if I don't go the next day, then this will happen. And then I'll probably stop doing these other things. And then if I stop doing these other things, and then I just see like a shitty version of myself. I'm like, I don't want to be that. I'm going to go to the gym.
That is so cool or that, like, you're able to make that say something connection. To people.
Like, if I'm like, oh, I'm about to say something douchey, maybe let's see what, if I keep saying things like that, what kind of person I've become. And it's shitty. So I just hold my tongue, you know?
Yeah.
I really, really like you saying that because, like, that's something that a lot of people cannot master. And a lot of people
like, don't have a filter.
Yeah, they don't. Like, I don't have a filter. Like, sometimes she'll say things. She's like, yeah, I just thought before I said that thing. I'm like, I don't have that processing to know what I'm going to say as I'm. Yeah. Like, I know what I'm saying as I'm saying it, which comes across very obviously because I ramble. But, like, like, I would kill for that skill because I have ADHD, so it's very hard for me to, like, think sometimes in that way. Like, I would kill to have my overthinking work in that way at this point in my life.
I think it definitely can because, I mean, I was diagnosed with ADHD and then I was undiagnosed after
Really?
Yeah. So in middle school, they put me in classes and all this stuff. And in high school, I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. And I tried to, like, think in a different way, like, or use whatever this, like, the diagnosis of ADHD was, use that different type of thinking to excel in whatever way I can. And I had them retest me on everything and I came up with no signs.
Wow, that's insane. That is so cool. That is
but wild. I feel like we think in a similar way. You just, like, put all that, like, mind energy into what I do with it.
I feel like I've definitely come a long way compared to how I used to be, but it definitely, like, for example, like me going to the gym for that reason, I'll think the same, I'll still play out the same scenario, but in my head it's not like the version of me that does less and less and less. It's like the version of me that's going and doing a bunch of other shit, so I'm like, I'm gonna choose the other shit. So, like,
yeah,
I could be doing something better.
But no, it's a really cool skill to harness. Like, even your dedication to being consistent with the things that you do and, like, whether it be posting or going to the gym or writing your songs, like, that's an actual beautiful part of who you are. And I feel like it's a strength that you have that, like, I don't know if you already recognize it, but, like, your ability to be consistent is something that a lot of people struggle with in life. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, you should, like, pat yourself on the back.
I can't.
But
yeah,
I appreciate it. I feel like I also don't really celebrate. It's just like it's part of the process.
That kind of leads to my next question, which is, so we ask all our guests to list out three songs that they feel a personal connection to and why. So I'd love to hear what songs you feel really connected to, whether it's a song that makes you cry, a song that brings back a memory, something that motivates you, and a little why piece.
Okay. I have two off the top of my head. Let Me Follow by Sun Lux.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. It's like, I believe it was made with all natural sounds, like no synthetic. Like they, if you hear like a little organ in there, it's going to be a real organ. If you hear like a tuba, it's going to be a tuba. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a beautiful song, and I can't really describe it in a way that like describes it well. So just listen to it, and I think you'll be lost.
Yeah,
it'll be
for great. Sure.
Beautiful.
So what's your connection to it?
Yeah. How does it make you feel?
This girl in high school showed it to me. I don't know. It's just like one of the songs that like I roll the windows down. Like I'll drive to San Francisco, which is like a 10-hour drive from where I live.
Right.
But like the whole drive is on the coast. Yeah. So if I'll just like down, listen to that, listen to songs like it, and just feel the energy of the world. As best as I can.
Yeah, I love that very much. Beautiful. What was the other song that you thought of?
This is like a more recent one. It's called Between the Bars by, I think, Elliot Smith.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's his name. I just heard this one, but he's an artist that died like 10, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but his music, like the melodies are so beautiful. Like from like a writer's perspective, it's really cool because nobody would really think to play those chords, and nobody would think to sing that melody on top of it, and it's just beautiful. It's like out of the ordinary. It's really cool.
I can't wait to listen to them. That sounds so beautiful. I love when music like is so whimsical, and like it makes you like, it's incredible the feeling that music can give you. Like some music, some even just some melodies, like you'll listen to something and then suddenly every little bit of hair on your arm like lifts up, and it's like your body knows the way the music is making your brain and your heart feel.
And sometimes you don't need a specific reason.
Yeah,
it just kind of, I don't know, tickles something. It's really cool.
For sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know if I would.
That's okay. You don't
that's
need
okay.
to. I think to have those two off the top of your head is awesome as well. Yeah, like that's really.
I'd be sitting here thinking for like an hour.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't come up with anything.
Yeah. No, I love that so much. The last question we have for you is, if you could go back and speak to your younger self, so your childhood self, what would you say to them?
I probably wouldn't say anything because I like how things are going. Mm. But if I could speak to another kid that was like how I was, I'd probably just tell them to not be afraid of who they are and like expressing that. Mm-hmm. And like, there's going to be years where it's brutal. Like in elementary school, middle school, high school, it's going to be brutal just being yourself. But once you get out into the real world, it totally pays off. Yeah. You know, you're just like, high schoolers and kids will like bully you and delay that for like no reason.
Yeah.
Mm. I think being the odd one out isn't like the worst thing in the world. So
yeah,
I really like that.
Yeah, I really like that too.
And I think that's very true. Like you can, it's funny because what the people that, I don't know, in my experience when I was in high school, the ones that were more bullied or more like outcasted were the ones that were true to who they were, true to what they liked and true to what, how they wanted to dress and how they wanted to be. And when they, and everyone else sort of truly deep down, I think, wanted to be like that, wanted to be that knowing of themselves. But as soon as you leave high school, it's those people that are thriving and succeeding, and you can see that they haven't changed because that's always who they were.
Yeah.
And obviously they've grown and evolved like everyone does, but like they haven't changed in terms of what it is that they enjoy doing in life and how they want to show up for themselves in life, where you'll notice that like the people that just wanted to fit in the box the whole time are still struggling to work out how to not fit in the box.
I slowly learned that naturally without somebody telling me to do it. And I feel like I wouldn't have even listened at the time anyway. So there's like no point. I would leave the little me alone.
Yeah, just I like that.
Figure it out for themselves. Yeah.
I know, isn't it weird to think that if you were a little kid and like the future version of you rocked up like in Back to the Future or something,
right?
I feel like that would scare the crap out of me. Like I would not be, I don't think I'd be handling that well. Yeah, I don't think I'd recognize myself.
They say you shouldn't interact with your past self.
Yeah, because you'd scare them.
According to Back to the Future rules anyway.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I look very similar. Like I used to look way different when I was younger.
Right.
Mm. I looked like a different ethnicity.
Imagining you brunette because I'm assuming you're naturally brunette and you seem like you're way like more European looking or like maybe Latino.
Yeah, I was like a lot more, I looked a lot different. And then I had like a picture in my head of what I wanted to look like in the future.
Right. Mm.
And I just kind of slowly have evolved into that.
Yeah.
So I feel like it'd be cool to be like, oh shit, like that's what I want.
Did become what I wanted. That's really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I really like that.
But then it'd be like, be overthinking the whole time, like, fuck, wait, what do I have to do
to get to that point?
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, oh my God, but future Christian did this. Like, oh my God, how did he do that? How did he do that?
When? I need to do it right. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I like the look that you have in the I Won't Beg For You music video.
Oh, the suit?
Yeah, like you had the suit, your hair, it was very like Draco Malfoy.
Oh, I love the Draco-ness, yeah.
Vibes. If you ever watched Harry Potter.
Yeah. No, I'm familiar with Draco because I get compared all the time.
I bet. Well, in Half-Blood Prince, he's always in a suit and obviously he's got his hair and he's got it kind of sitting in front of his face a bit like how you do. So you're very Draco.
Yeah, I like the aesthetic, to be honest. Yeah. I'm liking it. So when you were younger, did you envision your blonde locks and like your longer hair and everything?
I mean, when I was like super young, like, 6 or 7, I had dreams that there was this like a drink that I can drink that would turn my hair blonde.
Ooh.
For some reason.
Yeah.
So I had a dream where my hair was blonde. It was the best dream I ever had. And I don't know why that was like better, but eventually I started with streaks in high school and then tips. Like the streaks just got more and more and more. And then, you know.
Yeah. That's cool. Do you think that, like, because obviously you were brunette first, like, do you think that that dream stemmed for anything? Like, do you feel like when you were younger before having that dream that, like, you noticed a difference between how kids that were blonde were treated and how kids that are brunette were treated? Because I feel like I have that in my head. Like, I feel like I'm like, but the blonde girls just seem so, like, angelic and sweet. Why do I look like Danny DeVito? Like, I don't know why.
Yeah,
like, have
exactly,
that
feeling.
We grew up in Australian culture, and typically Australians are blonde hair, blue eyes, whereas we come from a Greek background.
Yeah.
So we're typically darker haired. So I definitely felt that for that reason.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. I think school, like kids in my elementary school, the ones that I thought were like really cool and like cool looking and like all that were always blonde.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, same here.
Yeah.
It's crazy like how it stems from something always. Thank you so much for joining us today, Christian. Yeah. Like, we really, really appreciate it. We love your music. Your sound is so catchy and like it literally after listening to your songs, like one or two, by the way, they sound so familiar. Like, I feel like I've heard them on the radio here.
Yeah, for sure.
they get so into your head that I actually find myself singing and knowing the lyrics very quickly. So I feel like you're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you can definitely see that you're like, you're on your path of like really, really like this is your moment in life. So I'm just so excited to see what's next for you. And we just appreciate you jumping on the call with us today.
Yeah. And we're so excited to hear your next EP as well.
Yes. I'm so curious for the folk music.
I know.
It's going to sound more like that most recent song that's out. Like more that direction.
Yep. Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
So Take Me Back.
Take Me Back.
I'm excited.
Very cool.
I like that. It sounds very, Take Me Back seems like a country song, folky song. Yeah. I like that a lot. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. Very, very keen for you. All of, feel free to plug yourself in terms of like where people can find you.
Yeah.
You can find me on, I'm doing a change. So I don't know if I've fixed this yet, but everything right now, all my socials are It's Luck City, ItsLuckity. But I'm shifting him over to I'll be Christian Gates.
Right.
So
with the dollar signs. Yeah. So if everything you guys can find it all down below. But thank you, Christian.
Thank you so much, Christian. Thank you for joining us. You know, it was refreshing to hear how really committed he is to his dream.
Yeah, I agree.
You can tell he really wants this. He wants to make music. He has this dream of creating things that can change someone's life and make a difference.
Yeah.
He has that dream.
He also, you can tell he very much really understands what he's doing in the background of his music as well. He's very involved. Like, even as we were sitting talking with him, he was with, like, as soon as we finished our conversation, he was sitting there working on his EP and being in the background of that stuff. So you can see he's such a dedicated, talented man. And I just love the self-reflection and growth. I really appreciated how he was very open and honest with the areas of his life that he needed to kind of work on for himself and the areas he could still grow into a little bit more and how open he is to learning from the people around him as well.
Yeah, it was actually
pretty cool to hear because he's 20 years old.
Yeah, very young. And
he's able to realize that sometimes saying something can hurt someone, and he's able to step back and realize, no, I shouldn't be saying things like that. I need to improve myself, not just for the people around him, but for himself.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's hard to realize at 20 years old.
Oh, it definitely is. There's some people I know that are way, like, triple that age that still have not made that self-reflection.
Exactly. So we're really proud of you, Christian. Good on you.
Yeah. Pat yourself on thy back.
Pat it. Pat your back.
But yeah, guys, if you haven't already, please make sure you check out his music. Yes. It is Christian with the dollar sign. So that is Christian with the S's replaced by the dollar bill signs.
Well, I think they know. Okay. I think they know.
I also really, really enjoy like the art like on his album art as well.
I know. And the fact that, I still can't believe he went through the process of writing a song every day and putting it up on social media. And he did that for a real significant amount of time.
Yeah. And as people that really struggle to be consistent with social media, because like it's hard, especially it is hard. It's hard and it's draining and it's hard to figure out, like, find times, keep on trends, figure out sounds.
I know.
And on top of that, when your trend that you're trying to create is to create a whole song like he did.
I know.
That's a lot of effort.
Every day he wrote a new song.
It's a lot of willpower.
It's insane. I can't even think of a tune.
But yeah, I feel like he's very, very dedicated to what he does. And Christian, we really appreciate you. We appreciate you being on the podcast. Mm. And we cannot wait to see what happens in your future.
Yes, we cannot wait. Now, I'm going to leave all of Christian Gates's details in the episode description. So please check out his Spotify, his social media. He is wonderful. Okay? Yep. All right. That is it for this week's episode. We really hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.